What is going on, everybody? Man, it feels like it's been for forever. Hey, welcome back to the Pain Fighters Podcast. Thank you guys for coming back and tuning in to my live stream line. Thank you guys. Appreciate you so much. As you guys know, my name is Reverend Lyle Lewis, a.k.a. Sean Liu. I am coming to you from the Word Evangelistic Church, where my pastor is Prophet Willie C. Townsend. The co-pastor is Prophetess Denise Townsend. Again, that's right. You heard correctly. I am not the pastor. I'm just a minister at the Word Evangelistic Church. I don't want, you know, should any of you come and visit the church, or, you know, you want to check in with my church to see if I attend there. You know, you have it where no one is saying that, you know, he said he's the pastor. Everybody can hear that I'm telling you I am not the pastor. I'm just a minister who is just exercising my gift in preaching the gospel. So, let's see. Like I said, I'm from the Word Evangelistic Church. Well, we're located in Chicago, Illinois. We're on YouTube. The Word Evangelistic Church is on YouTube. Just check them out, Word Evangelistic Church, or just type up Prophet Townsend, Prophet Willie C. Townsend, and you'll find us. Like I tell everybody, by all means, I'm happy that you guys are tuning in to me. I'm happy that you guys are listening to me, be it that you're tuning in on the stream live, on YouTube, or be it that you're tuning in to me on my podcast. But as I always say, if you guys like what you hear from me, you're going to love what you hear from my pastor. He's the one that taught me everything that I know about the Word of God and how to break it down. All right. So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and dive into today's lesson. So what I wanted to teach on today was, you know, share my thoughts, teach on whatever it is that you want to call it. I'm just glad that you're listening. Where is the other side of God in these churches? I gotta grab my Bible right quick. But it's taken from, I'm coming from, the scripture I'm using is Daniel 9 and 4, all right? For those of you that want to follow along in your Bibles. So Daniel 9 and 4 reads, "And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments." Now, the reason why I wanted to cover this is because in a lot of churches, unfortunately, you're only hearing one side of God. You're only hearing about the grace and the mercy side of God, the love side of God, the side of God that is, you know, it's everything is all good. There's nothing bad. And when I say nothing bad, I don't mean that the Lord is bad in a way of negative. I don't mean that the Lord is bad in a way of there's no point in serving him. I don't mean that the Lord is bad in the way of there's a side of God that should be hidden. No. When I say even the Bible, it's the Bible that says the where's the exact scripture says the great and dreadful. So when I speak of the bad side, again, I'm not speaking of it in a sense of like how we consider something bad, all right? I don't mean it in that sense where, you know, because man would be like, oh, well, he said that God's bad. I'm not saying it in that sense. When I say the bad side of God, I mean, as the Bible said, the dreadful side of God. Where is that side of God? Why is it that it's always just God is love and God is understanding and God is peace and God is mercy? You know, if God is so much love and peace and understanding and mercy, which I'm not saying he isn't, of course he is. But if God is so much love, peace, understanding and mercy, who was it that killed Ananias and Sapphira when they lied against the Holy Ghost? Who was it that swallowed up the children of Israel when they spoke against Moses? Who was it that time after time after time after time, when the children of Israel went into, when they fell off in the sin, God gave them over to these other countries and let them go off into captivity and stuff like that? See, the reason why I'm bringing this out is because, unfortunately, you have it where a lot of churches are not preaching on this side of God, and they're just making it seem like all you have to do is just believe in God. All you have to do is just come to church. No, you have to serve God. See, God made many things like the scripture says right here. Okay, it says in the fourth verse, it says ninth chapter, fourth verse, "And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confessions and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy." Now, mind you, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. So wait a minute. Why would he say great and dreadful God? But notice what he said. He said great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that keep his covenant. See, that's what the problem is. You got too many people that are coming in only talking about one side of God. But you also got to understand, God is graceful. He's merciful. He's all these great things to you, providing if you're keeping his covenant, providing if you're keeping his commandments, providing you're living the life that God wants you to live, providing you're doing the things that God wants you to do. See, that's the part that I'm talking about these churches are leaving out. They're leaving out the part where you have to serve God in order to get the grace, in order to get the mercy, in order to get the love. See, God does extend love to all men, but you got to read and rightly divide the word of God of how God sends love to every man. What did the Bible say? The Bible said, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. But then the Bible also does say that God's ears are only open to the prayer of the righteous. So what is this telling me? This is telling me, set my notes aside here for a minute. This is telling me that while God does love all of us, because the Bible even tells us that God's not willing that any man shall perish, but that all come to the repentance of Jesus Christ, all come to repentance of God. God wants us reconciled to him. That shows his love right there, that he's like, hey, I want you guys to be a part of me. But notice what the scripture says. It says that it only goes, his grace and love and mercy only goes to those who keep the covenant of God, those who keep the agreement of God. See, when you get saved, when you get into salvation, you're entering into a covenant with God. You're entering into a pact, an agreement, contract, whatever it is that you want to call it. You're entering into an agreement with God, a covenant with God that says, Lord, I will serve you. And in return of me serving you, you will watch out for me. You will take care of me. You will redeem my soul when it dies to make sure it doesn't go to hell, but rather that it comes and that it's yours when I'm dead and when I'm dead and gone. But in the process of this, in order for me to honor my end of the bargain, I have to serve you with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I have to walk upright according to your word, the way that you want me to do it, not the way that I understand your word, but the way that you break the word of God down to you. See, if you go, like I said, go check out my pastor, Prophet Willie C. Townsend. If you look up one of his messages, he just got done preaching on a message called The Anointing. And he's basically talking about how the anointing of God working through an individual is what teaches you. It's the anointing of God that teaches you. And this is the reason, like I say, you'll hear me say this time after time after time after time in just about every message that I preach unto you. You have to find yourself a pastor, a man of God that is tied in to God so that the anointing of God can teach you, so that the Holy Ghost can teach you all things that you need to know about God and all things that you need to know about walking upright in the eyesight of God. See, getting saved is not just going to church. Getting saved is not just you saying you're saved. It's not just the sinner's prayer. You got to go further. But see, when the pastor isn't teaching you that, he's not going to teach you both sides of God. See, when the pastor is just getting up there and he's just teaching you that you need to come to church and believe and hoop and holler and make sure to pay your tithes, what knowledge are you getting? What understanding are you getting? The only understanding you're getting is that church and money go together. That's all that you're getting. But there's much more to church than coming to church and paying your tithes. There's more to coming to church and hearing a bunch of people hoop and holler and make noise. There's more to coming to church and praising God. There's more to coming to church and just hearing somebody give a testimony or hearing the choir sing. Where's the teaching at? You need the teaching to understand how to serve God. You need the teaching to help you to understand the fullness of what God is and how he wants us to operate. You need the teaching, which is the word of God. You need the word of God, be it written or oral. You need them both. You can't disallow one. You can't disregard one or the other. You need them both, because you need the written word of God so that you can be brought into the knowledge of what God is saying. You need the oral teaching, the man of God who can give the oral teaching tied into the Spirit of God to break down what God is trying to tell you. See, we can read all day. We can read all day long. But if you do not have someone there to break down what you have read, see, even if you read in the Bible, those of you who say you read your Bible, you read in the book of Acts, it says that the people listen to the apostles. So they went by the oral teaching, and then after they went off of the oral teaching, said they went home and searched the scriptures to see if these things were so. So therefore, it showed they studied on their own, and then on top of studying on their own, they went off what the apostles were teaching. They went off the apostles' teaching. You got it where these churches aren't teaching you nothing. You got it where these churches are not teaching you the good and the dreads of the good, the great and dreadful side of God. They're just teaching you the great side of God. They're just teaching you one side of God. But in the process of them teaching you one side of God, they're not covering sin. They're not covering things that displease God. They're not covering things that's going to hinder you from making it to heaven. See, if they're not teaching the fullness of God, if they're not teaching the fullness of God, then I'm telling you right now, they're leading you in the wrong direction. God said, know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you're leaving out bits and pieces of details, then you don't have the truth. The truth is a wholeness of something. You can't say that you're fully saved if you don't have the full knowledge of what salvation is. If you don't have the full understanding of what God requires from you. But see, this is the reason why the Lord put it on my heart to come and break this down to you. You see, what the problem is you got a lot of these pastors out here. You know, a lot of these pastors, and I'm going to deal with the pastors. Don't get me wrong. It's partly the members' fault because, like I said earlier, you should have it where the members should be studying the Word of God for themselves. You do have it where the Word of God should be, you know, the people say that they're going home and they're reading the Word of God. They're reading the Bible. What the hell are you reading? Because all due respect, with the things that, mind you, I live in this world. I'm not a part of the world, but I live in it. And what I mean by that is, yeah, there's things I don't participate in. I don't participate in a lot of the sinful activities and things like that. And when I say a lot of the sinful, I don't mean like any. I just, you know, sorry. But I don't participate in any sinful activities or anything like that. I'm not out here drinking, partying, smoking, committing adultery and all this other kind of stuff. No, I live a saved lifestyle. And in the process of me living that saved lifestyle, I see people doing these things. I hear that people are doing these things. You hear it on the news. You hear it when I go. I hear it when I go to work. You see it all day on Facebook, on YouTube. You see all the stuff that these people are doing. And you're just wondering, how is it that these people are doing this, but yet they're still talking about God? They're still talking about prayer? They're still talking about that they're blessed? In what world? So like I said, it is partly the people's fault. But today, the Lord wants me to stick with the churches. And the reason why is because, you know, there are a lot of you who are just now listening to the podcast, or you're just now jumping on YouTube with me, and maybe you don't know the fullest of salvation. What I'm trying to do is I want to make sure that I break down the basics as well as the advanced stuff as best as I possibly can with the amount of time that's allotted to me. But otherwise, understand this, there will come a day, if I can't cover it today, there will come a day where I will come back to this message and break down, where as a matter of fact, I might as well just make that a part two. Let's do that. We'll make this part one. Part one is going to cover the church. Part two is going to cover the individual. Okay? Now, we're going to cover the church. Now, so many churches are only preaching one side of God, but the love and the mercy side of God isn't the only side of God. All right? There's an angry, jealous, and judgment side of God. Like I said earlier, who was the one that pronounced judgment on the children of Israel in the Old Testament? Who was the one that pronounced judgment on the nations and the kings and, you know, all this other kind of stuff? If God is a God of love and mercy, and especially when I hear people who aren't saved say that God is a God of love and mercy. Okay, if God is a God of love and mercy, which of course, like I said, he is. But if he's only, that's how I put it, if he is only a God of mercy and love, why did he pronounce so much judgment throughout the Old Testament? Look at how many people that the Lord went through and destroyed because they violated his word or stood against his people or whatever the case may be. They somehow did something against God and God made sure to pronounce judgment on them. So you got to where everybody wants to say only God can judge me. But how many of you actually believe that only God can judge you? Because if you believed it, you act on it. If you believe that only God can judge you, you'd get saved. If you believe that only God can judge you, you'd make sure to walk upright in the eyesight of God. If you believe that only God can judge you, you'd go to a church that is teaching you the right way of God so that you would stay out of the judgment of God. This is the reason why I'm going to cover the church first. I'm going to get on the church first so that then this way, you know, as an individual, what you, if you're a pastor, you know what you should be preaching in the churches. Or if you're an individual who's going to churches, you know what kind of church to look for. Okay, so you only get it where, you know, these churches, they're not preaching that there's an angry and jealous, you know, side of God. Hence the reason, if you don't believe that God is a jealous God, look at the first commandment. Serve no other God. It said, I'm the Lord thy God. Serve no other God. Have no other God, no images or anything else before me. Even Jesus Christ said, if any man love his mother, brother, sister above me, he's not worthy of me. Well, why would God tell you that? Because God wants your full attention. He wants your full focus. God wants it to be that when you serve him, there's nothing or no one that gets in the way of what you're doing for him. But see, we let so many other things get and cloud our judgment of when we serve God. And you get it where these teachers and these pastors and these churches, they're not telling you that God is number one. And if they tell you, they're not setting the example. So you not only remember that, you not only need to go to a church and sit under a man of God that is just telling you, you need somebody who's also setting the example. Trust me, I assure you, I love my pastor, but if he was not walking upright according to the word of God, I would not be in his church. I wouldn't be in any church if where the word of God is not being A, preached the right way, and B, being lived by those that are preaching. My pastor, I watched him, you know, he's living upright. So this is the reason why I'm in the church. Because not only do I have a man of God who can break the word of God down to me and preach the word of God to me, but I also have a pastor that's living what he's teaching. He's living the word of God the way that it's supposed to be lived. This is the reason why I tell everybody that comes to this telecast, everybody that listens to my podcast, I say, if you like what you hear from me, go listen to him. Why? He taught me. And I allowed him to teach me because I saw that he was walking upright in the eyesight of God. I saw that the man of God was living what he was telling us to do. He wasn't just telling us to do it. He was either doing it himself or he gave record of how he had did it and it worked out for him. But see, you got a lot of these churches, these pastors, they're not living the word of God, so they can't necessarily even tell you. The most they can tell you is a testimony of, you know, how God paid a bill or something like that, but they can't necessarily tell you how God brought them out through and by the word of God, how God broke spirits and strongholds and things like that in their life through and by them being obedient and coming up to the Spirit of God. They may say, oh yeah, I stepped out on faith, but can they tell you that they've been obedient to the word of God? Can they give you a holy lifestyle where they're like, hey, look, this is what helped me to get where I am in God, and then tell you to follow suit? See, if the pastor can't set the example, then he can't teach you what to do properly. He can't tell you and teach you the right way to go. The only thing that he can do is, I can't even call it preaching. Because in my definition, an individual that is preaching the word of God is somebody that's preaching something that, one, they're living. And two, if they're preaching the word of God, they're preaching the fullness of the word of God, not just bits and pieces. But see, this is the reason why I said, why isn't the fearful and dreadful side of God being preached in churches? It's too many churches are afraid it'll run away the members. That's what this is about. Pastor, if you are preaching the word of God, member, if you're going to a church where the pastor's and preaching the fullness of the word of God, it's because he is afraid that if he starts diving into your lifestyle, if he starts telling you to come out of sin, if he starts telling you can't shack up, if he's telling you can't commit fornication and adultery, you can't drink and smoke, you can't use drugs, you can't, you know, be effeminate, or you can't do all the things that the world is doing, he's afraid that you're going to say, enough of this, I'm out. But here's the problem. He should have founded the church on the rock of God. His foundation should have been God in the first place, to where no matter if the people come or if they leave, he's still preaching the gospel. See, when the word of God is being preached, the word of God has to be preached to the fullest to get the people to be saved. If the word of God is not being preached to the fullest to get the people saved, then how can you truly say that you're saved? How can you truly say you're reaching out to the people? You can't just reach out to them with all the good words and all the other stuff. You have to reach out to them with the truth. Again, you can't preach the truth if you're only preaching the truth in bits and pieces. I can't tell you, I can't give you some information. If you're asking me how to get to a certain place and I only give you bits and pieces of the information, there's still a chance you're going to get lost following my instructions. See, it's one thing if an individual gets lost because that's what they do or that's what they want. It's a whole nother thing if I give you the wrong instruction, you follow my instructions to the fullest and end up lost. That's a whole nother thing. See, if I give you full instructions and tell you everything that you should and should not be doing, which way to go and what turns to make, and you get lost because you did something that of your own that you shouldn't have done. You should have followed the instruction. But if I don't tell you everything, then it's my fault. This is the reason why in the Old Testament, you look at how God dealt with the prophets. And he told the prophets, he said, you preach what I tell you to preach. Otherwise, I'm going to hold these people's blood at your hands. Paul said, I must preach the gospel lest a dispensation be laid against me. Part of that dispensation of the gospel is the people's blood being on his hands. God doesn't just call an individual to preach and just have it be where they're just sitting there and they're just rambling off a bunch of words. No, there's a purpose for your salvation. There's a purpose for your calling as a minister, as a deacon, a pastor, a prophet, or whatever the case may be. There is a purpose, and that purpose is to find a way to get to the people, to draw them into God, to draw them to Christ, to draw them to the Word of God and get them saved. But if you're too afraid of people walking away from you, see, what did Christ say? Christ said, if you go and you give your blessings to the home and your blessings come back to you, he said, move on. He said, if the people won't receive you, shake the dust from your foot. He said, if they persecute you in one city, go to another. It was not one time that he said, sugarcoat it. It was not one time if he said, if the people don't accept you, just find a way to give them what they want. No. The Bible preached against people like that. It called them false pastors. It said it called them false prophets, I mean. It said that these are the people who go when they start telling people what they want to hear. When the people say, preaching to us smooth things, that's what they give them. I'm not here to tell you smooth things. I'm not here to tell you what you want to hear unless you're here to listen to the truth. If you want to hear the truth, by all means, keep tuning in. That's all I'm going to tell you. I'm going to teach you the Word of God like the Word of God was taught to me. This is another reason why I'm also telling everybody, hey, if you like what you hear from me, go tune into the pastor that I listen to, Prophet Willie C. Townsend, because he's going to tell you also. See, it took me accepting the Word of God. It took me finding a church home, and thanks be to God, the Lord directed me to a good church home. It took me to find this church home, and it took me to accept the Word of God to get saved. To stay saved also. It wasn't just that I got saved. I had to stay saved. And in order to stay saved, I had to be taught how to stay saved. I had to be taught what Satan was up to, what he was trying to do to me, how he was trying to affect my mind, how he was trying to affect my spirit, what he was doing to the people around me to try to get them to be an influence to me, what he was trying to do in my circumstances and whatnot, tell me how the Word of God works to my benefit if I use it properly, and tell me also how the Word of God will work against me if I don't come up to it. I needed to learn all these things, and it took the fullness of the teaching to keep me, not bits and pieces, not just what the pastor thought I wanted to hear. If I walked out today, trust me, the Word of God will still go on in our church to the fullest and grow on strong. I have no intention on leaving, but I'm just saying. I've watched many people come and go in our church, and my pastor's teaching has only gotten stronger. It has only gotten more. There's been more wisdom, more knowledge, more deep revelations, more of the hidden things of God being brought to the surface of what God requires of us. And as much as I have watched people come and go, I have watched the church grow. That should be how you are. Pastor, your ministry should be based off of your faith that the Lord stands behind you, not the members' tithes and offerings, not the members' love offerings, not the members' doggone building fund and their committees and all this other kind of stuff. No, the church should be founded on you and your faith. And as long as you do what you're supposed to do, which is preach the word of God in spirit and also in truth. And what is truth? Thy word is truth. So if you're preaching the full gospel, the word of God, you're preaching the good side of God and the dreadful side of God. You're telling the people the Lord does love you and he has great grace and mercy for you, but he will send you to hell if you're not walking upright according to the word of God. The Lord has your back. He's not going to let the doors close. He didn't let it happen for my pastor. My pastor's been preaching the word of God hard against the kingdom of Satan, preaching the full truth of the word of God. And the Lord is only blessing him and helping him to rise up more and more and more and more and more. The Lord is keeping him, sustaining him in many, many, many different ways. And I see how the way that the prophet is telling us what to do, the way that I'm following the word of God, it's working for me, it's working for others. And the reason why I'm bringing out me is because I'm part of the church. And I see others that are part of the church. We're walking up according to the word of God, and the word of God is working for us to where we're coming out in life doing good. Doing good doesn't necessarily mean that I gotta have a mansion, a house on a hill, a dog on cars. No, doing good can just mean that, hey, look, one, I still am alive, got my health and strength, clothed in my right mind. Still in good standard with God. See, too many times we get folks who just believe that once you get in church, automatically it should just be blessings and this. Look, dude, the blessings are the natural blessings. That's what I'm talking about. All the natural blessings that you get in God, they're not going to come without time. They're not going to come without going through. Okay, you're not just going to walk into God. Yeah, you may get a job, or you know, you might get a house, or, you know, you might get a healing, you know, when you first get saved. But understand, you do have to go through some type of wilderness experience in order to get all the full blessings and things like that of God. And it ain't just going to happen where you get saved. And if anything, first thing God is going to do is he's going to mold your inner man, not your outer man. But if you're not coming up to the word of God, then yeah, he's going to pronounce judgment on you. He's going to allow things to happen to you. And this is where your pastor is supposed to come in to be sure that you're being guided on the right path. But if the pastor is too afraid that you're going to walk out, if he's too afraid that he's going to lose money, he's not going to tell you all this. See, you got to stop. See, these pastors, they got to stop preaching messages that they feel will generate good revenue. That's all it is. That's the reason why you get these pastors get up there and they preach all these happy, hee-haw, you know, happy day messages all the time, because they're only looking at what they want to tell the people. They're only looking at what they feel the people should hear and what they should listen to. They're not going by what the Spirit of God is telling the people, what the Spirit of God wants the people to hear, how God wants the people to be molded and grow. But see, when the pastor's only looking at himself and not looking at the well-being of his flock, then he's not going to teach. He's going to tell you what he thinks you should hear. He's going to teach you what he thinks that you should listen to. He's going to guide you in a way that he thinks he wants you to go. I didn't get under my pastor because I, you know what I'm saying? I thought that he knew the way. If you understand what I'm saying. If you don't, then this is what I mean. I didn't join with my pastor because I believe that of his own knowledge, of his own understanding, he knew the way to go. I got into the church and joined the church because I was fully convinced and fully confident that he was tied into the Spirit of God and leading us in the right way that God wanted us to go, not that he personally wanted us to go. Don't get me wrong, my pastor has a true, genuine love for saving souls. I do believe that genuinely he would lead us in the right direction, but understand, you know, you can't trust, you know, man will let you do what you want to do, and that's obvious. Look at these churches now. Look at how many pastors are out there now letting their members do whatever they want to do, act however they want to act, be whatever they want to be, and then still let these members profess salvation. Still let these members come in, and here it is, they're living in sin, but they're holding offices in the church. When the Bible tells us how bishops and deacons and how the people of God ought to be, they're letting these people live any kind of way, and then still saying that they're saved, still handing out communion. Telling them all you got to do is just pray and ask for forgiveness and you're good to go. See, if you want the church saved, then it starts with the individual who's leading the church. You can tell if God is a part of the church by the way the pastor runs the church. If the pastor allows anything, then God is not the head of that church. If the pastor is knowingly allowing people in the church to do things against the word of God, then God is not the leader of that church. But if the word of God is being preached to the fullest, if the pastor finds out there's sin in the church and he's preaching it out, look what Paul did. Paul heard that there was fornication in the church. What did he do? He said, put the man out. He won the man. Why? Because Paul understands these people are my responsibilities and my flock. They're my responsibility. I'm going to make sure to lead them in the right way. He did it because he understood, hey, I got members in this doggone church that are, they're just now getting saved. I don't need them seeing that. Because if they see that, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to think that it's okay. That's the reason why I said, even Christ said, a little leaven leavens a whole lump. What does that mean? Meaning what you see one person do can spread across the whole church and everybody thinks that they can do it. But again, this comes from if the pastor is doing things the right way. Is he teaching the full gospel of the word of God? Or is he just teaching you smooth things, what you want to hear? But see, that's what they're doing. They're preaching that they feel will generate good revenue. See, too many pastors are greedy for filthy lucre when the Bible says that a bishop ought to not be filthy, greedy of filthy lucre. That's all they're looking at. They're looking at money. Don't get me wrong. I get it. You need money to pay bills. You need money to keep the lights on. You need money to keep heat in the church. You need money, you know what I'm saying, to keep the doors open, pay the mortgage or the rent or whatever the case can be. I get it. Yeah. Yeah, I get it. But that doesn't mean that the pastor should compromise your soul to get it. See, that's where the pastor's faith has to come in. The pastor has to have enough faith that the Lord will sustain him. But he has to go forth and do what the Lord bid him to do, which is preach the gospel. But see, if he's only greedy and out for himself, and worried about, oh, if I tell the people that they can't commit fornication, oh, I might lose half of my congregation. Well, pastor, you just got to let it be how it is. You just got to let the chips fall where they may. If the people walk, you got to know that the Lord's got your back. If the people decide that they want to leave, you got to let them go. Because that means that they didn't want God in the first place. Now, don't get me wrong. I am not one who is saying, let's just give up on people. But again, if that's what the people want, if they walk away, I didn't say you kick them out. But if you preach that spirit out of the church, there's a difference in you kicking them out and then you preaching that spirit out. You got to understand, Paul said put the man out of the church because Paul was locked up. He had to send letters. He said put him out because he understood if I'm not there to preach the spirit out, then anything can happen. So he told him, hey, put this man out of the church. But I guarantee you, if Paul was there, he wouldn't have put him out. He would have preached it. And then if the man would have decided that, hey, I'm still going to do what I want, then he would have put him out. But at the same time, notice how Paul took a stand against what this man did. Notice how Paul made sure to address to the church what he's doing is not right. And I guarantee you, it did not matter to Paul if half of the congregation left or if just the one individual that was in sin left. It didn't matter to him because he understood he was doing the will of God. He was preaching to the church. He's trying to get the church right so that they don't fall under the dreadful side of God. Paul even said, it is a horrible thing to fall in the hands of an angry God. Paul understood this. All the other apostles understood this. The prophets understood this. This is the reason why they preached to the people. But if you notice in the word of God, how even especially in the Old Testament, people didn't want to hear what the word of God had to say. People didn't want to hear a word from the Lord, from the prophet. even in the New Testament, they didn't really want to hear nothing from the apostles. Why? Because the people did not want to accept the truth. But did that stop the apostles? No. They kept going. They kept preaching the word of God. It didn't matter who listened and who didn't listen. It didn't matter if look, anytime you get it where they're preaching the gospel to the point where it doesn't matter if they live or die, then I tell you, yeah, that tells you just how important it is to preach the truth, to preach the gospel. Christ died for the gospel. The apostles died for the gospel. I mean, you know, of course, Christ died for our sins, of course, that too. But notice, he died so that the word of God can, so that the will of God can move forward, that the people be reconciled back unto God. And the only way that he was able to do that is, one, dying for our sins, and two, making sure the gospel got preached. The Holy Ghost came. The Spirit of God is what teaches you. But if the pastor doesn't have the Spirit of God within him, if the pastor's not teaching to you, teaching you under the anointing, then the only thing he is going to worry about is how much money can he generate per message. See, it's the reason why if you listen to what a lot of these pastors are saying, they're hooping and hollering, they're not saying anything. They're jumping around the church giving the people what they want to hear, but they're not preaching the full gospel of the word of truth of the word of God. They're not preaching the fullness of the truth of the word of God. They're only telling you what you want to hear or what they think that, you know, would be a good message so that you don't walk away from them. But see, there's one reason, one way that you know that, right? Because, you know, in the book of Titus, it says there are many vain talkers and deceivers, especially them of the circumcision, meaning he's talking about them in the church. Many vain talkers and deceivers. Well, the only person in the church that are talking and deceiving the people, he wasn't talking about Satan in this. In the book of Titus, Paul wasn't talking about Satan in this, in that scripture. He was talking about these pastors and these teachers, these individuals that are leading the doggone people of God. That's who he was talking about when he said, when he called them vain talkers and deceivers. Vain talkers. Do you know what vain, what that means? Vain, that means it pointless. They're not saying nothing. And deceivers, those who are only telling you bits and pieces of the truth. Those that are telling you what you want to hear. Look at the churches today, man. Look at them today. Do you really honestly think that these churches would be ran the way that they are today if the pastors were telling the people the full gospel and the full whole truth and were telling people about the good and dreadful side of God? No, they would not. Because one, the people were coming with a lot more respect in how they dress. They were coming with a lot more respect in how they talk. They were coming with a lot more respect for the house of God, not bringing alcohol in the church, not smoking out in front of the church. And I'm just covering just surface stuff that we see, that we see. It's sad when everybody, both men and women, are coming to church in tight clothes. It used to just be the women. Now we got the men. We don't know. We're trying to stop everybody. We got to put everybody in a doggone robe nowadays when they come to church. Why? Because no one is taking, but most of these churches are not taking a stand for the truth. Most of these churches are not taking a stand for how the word of God ought to be preached in these churches. And if they're not taking a stand for the full gospel, they're going to allow anything to happen in the church. Again, why? Because they're only worried about one thing. Get the people in, collect the tithes, and send them home. See, even my pastor said, you got to wear these churches. These pastors are selling your soul for money. They're selling your soul for filthy lucre. The only thing that they're worried about is their own pockets. They're worried about their own belly. They're worried about their car note. They're worried about their house note. They're worried about, you know, going on vacation, buying their wife a car and making sure they've got enough money left over to buy their mistress a car so that she don't rise up and ruin his reputation in the church. But see, when you have an individual that's running the church the right way, running the church in a way that is pleasing and acceptable to God, then you have it where people come into the house dressed decent. Folks come in with proper conversation. There's no drinking in the church, and there's no drinking in front of the church. There's no smoking in front of the church. There's no drug dealing in the church. I don't care if it is legal now. But when you got it where the pastor's not preaching the gospel and preaching the truth and preaching to the fullness, not caring about how the people feel, not caring about what the people want, when you got it where the pastor is preaching in a corrupt way, you're going to have a corrupt church. And I'm telling you, if he's not preaching the full gospel, the full truth of the word of God, the church is corrupt. If he's preaching for filthy lucre, the church is corrupt. There is no in between. Notice what I was telling you guys about being lukewarm a week ago. There is no in between. Your pastor is either teaching the word of God or he's not. And if he's not preaching you the whole truth, then he's not teaching you at all. If you wind up lost, if you're trying to get somewhere and you wind up lost, are you there? No, you got lost along the way. I don't care if you got lost 15 miles away from your destination or one block away from your destination. If you got lost, you didn't make it there. If he only told you how to get there and he couldn't tell you how to get there, and here it is, you're one block away and he can't tell you how to get there the rest of the way, you're still lost. If the pastor cannot tell you how to get to heaven, he can only tell you how to get, almost get to heaven, you're not going to make it. But the reason why that doesn't happen is because you got it where there's too many. They're too afraid of what you as the people think, or what you as the people feel, or if you're going to leave, or if you're going to stop, or you might stay, but you won't pay the tithes and offering. You won't pay the tithes and offering, the building fund, the Sunday school, this and that. Is you too worried about you as the people? No, he can't be worried about you and your money. He needs to be worried about you and your soul. He needs to be worried about you and your spirit man. He needs to be worried about your inner man. Not what's in your pockets, but what's in your heart. Not what's in your wallet, but what's in your mind. Not what's in your purse, but what's in your spirit. That's what he needs to be worried about. This other stuff, let the Lord provide that. What he needs to be worried about is the truth of the word of God. Preaching it so that you all can be saved, so that you all can fight against Satan. That's the reason why you got to where so many church folks are confused, because the pastor is not preaching to you because he has no concern for the flock. Therefore, without the proper concern for the flock, he's only going to teach you what, a Bible story every now and then, get up and, you know, tell the people that he's got a testimony and, you know, let the choir sing for 45 minutes. Preach for 5, 10, 15 minutes and then let the choir have the rest of the day. And then, you know, you got it where you walk in these churches. The pastor, you get it where you got Sunday school, which they're not really teaching anything serious that's going to actually really help you. It may encourage you, may inspire you, but it ain't nothing that's actually going to keep you. And again, that's at best. So then after Sunday school, which lasts for anywhere from 1 to 2 hours, depending on what kind of church you go to, that lasts for anywhere from 1 to 2 hours. Most churches, it only lasts for an hour. Most churches. Then you have what? A little bit of in-between time between Sunday school and actual service. Service gets started. Y'all got to sing hymns or let the choir sing and jump around and praise service and this and that. And that lasts anywhere from 30 minutes. Please. Most churches, doggone, praise services last for what, a whole hour plus? Praise service is 1 to 2 hours. Pastor gets up there at most, and this is me being generous, 30 minutes at most. Again, that's me being generous. 30 minutes, but in the process of him getting up there saying, he ain't saying nothing. Choir sings again, and then tithes and offering for about 30 to 45 minutes, and then... And again, this is me being very generous with time. This is me being very generous with time. The real way that it is, Sunday school is an hour, about 15 minutes of break time, then you start service. What? We got praise service, so that's the longest portion of the praise service and choir singing. That takes up about 1 to 2 hours. Pastor gets up there preaching for 5 to 10 minutes, and then church is done. If you get to church, if Sunday school starts at 9, you're at latest out by 12. At latest. What did the pastor teach you in that amount of time if all the time was spent in Sunday school and having the choir sing? Where was the word of God being broken down at in that amount of time? Let me explain to you how our church goes. We have Bible class 2 nights a week, where the pastor gets up there for anywhere from an hour and a half to 2 hours breaking down the word of God. On Sunday, we have our Sunday school, which lasts for about an hour. We have an hour in between Sunday school and service. And then praise service starts at about 1 o'clock. And the pastor comes out at about 1:30. Okay? The pastor comes out about 1:30, so we're praising God for anywhere from an hour, no, I'm sorry, from anywhere from half of an hour to 45 minutes. That's how long we praise God. And then the pastor comes out, and then he takes the floor. And from 1:45, we'd say just about 1:45. And again, I'm saying 1:45, like that's like if we were really like in high gear, and I mean, we're just really, really praising God, and you know what I'm saying? We're just really, really, really getting it up there and praising God. From 1:45 till, let's see, about 3, roughly till about 3 o'clock, the word of God is going forth. So we're getting from 1:45 to 3 o'clock, the word of God. We get the 2 telecast messages, and then we get a message for that's just for the church. We get 2 outhouse messages, which is normally it's when my pastor normally has to do like a part 1 and a part 2 so that he can make sure that the people, you know, he gets the full word of God out. And then he has a full message for us just inside the church that doesn't go out to the telecast. Like I said, that's about anywhere from 1:45, 2 o'clock till anywhere 3, 4 o'clock. We get about 2 hours of teaching. Yeah, I know that the telecasts are only 30 minutes, but the pastor gets up there and he actually tells us a message for anywhere from a half an hour to an hour to 2 hours sometimes. Depending on what the Lord would have for him to tell us. Depending on what the Lord has him to see in his own church. And in the process of him teaching, we're actually hearing the fullness of what God has for us. It isn't a testimony. Yes, there's a testimony mixed in there, but it's not just a testimony. No, the testimony has relevance to bring out what the message is that God wants us to hear. The Bible story is not a story. It's a reference point. In other words, he's referring, hey, you remember this Bible story? This is how it's relevant to you in today's time. This is what Satan was doing then. Here's what he's doing now. Here's the connection point. There is knowledge. There's wisdom. There's understanding. There's deep revelations that's mixed into it. It's not just a some doggone after school special crap that, you know, you can pick up from watching a Channel 11 special. No, it's actually the word of God dealing with the inner man, dealing with the heart, dealing with the mind. If your pastor's not doing that, pastor, if you're not doing that, I don't know what it is that you think you're doing. You need to get up there and you need to actually tell the people what's going on. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, with these people, like I was saying, with the vain talkers and the deceivers, if you're not doing that, then that's all you're doing. You're either just talking and making a lot of noise, or you're deceiving the people in hell, or both. Well, I'm not telling them anything wrong. Yeah, well, if you're not telling them anything right, then what the hell are you doing? You gotta tell them the right way to go. You gotta tell them the fools are the right way to go. You know what I'm saying? You gotta wear all these people opening who teach for filthy lucre. A lot of folks are attending churches where the pastor is turning the use of tithes into filthy lucre. If they're not teaching you holiness, only but rather teaching the people what they want to hear, then that's what it is. It's just that they're just collecting filthy lucre. If they're not telling you the fullness of what God wants you to hear, if they're not giving you the full truth of the word of God, then that's all they're doing. They're just collecting filthy lucre. That's all. They're just there collecting your money. If you look at how a lot of these churches are, they will let you drink. They will let you smoke. They don't care if you commit adultery. They don't care if you commit fornication, but let you not pay tithes. Notice how they'll come down on you. They'll call you. They send letters out to your house. They'll send folks to the house to come pick you up to make sure that you come. You can come out of the house and they know that here it is, you and this dude or this female that you're living with, you ain't married to them. They know y'all shacking up, committing fornication. Y'all coming into church with 3-4 babies. You're not married to each other. Oh, my brother, my sister, hey. And the pastor ain't preaching against it, ain't telling you, hey, look, that ain't right in the eyes of God. If y'all gonna do this, y'all need to get married. You in here, you can't be in here drinking and smoking and using drugs and this and that. They're just letting y'all do whatever the hell it is you want to do. But let you not pay tithes, they're going to come at you. Let you not pay tithes, now the pastor's got a message for the whole church. You're not paying tithes, now the pastor get up there, now he's got a 30, 45 minute, hour long message. Because you didn't pay tithes. But as long as y'all paying tithes, 5, 10, 15 minutes and then get the hell out. I'm not saying that members shouldn't pay tithes now. Let's get that straight, because you got a lot of where a lot of people will try to misconstrue things. And I'm not saying don't pay tithes. I'm not saying don't be a blessing to your pastor. I'm not saying, but what I am saying is pay tithes, but make sure you're paying them to the right person. Make sure you're paying them to a church that's actually making sure that you make it to heaven. If you're paying tithes, and why? Well, look, I'm going to tell you right now. If you're paying tithes to a church that isn't teaching you the fullness of the word of God, they're not teaching you the good and the dreadful, so the great and the dreadful side of God. They're not teaching you how the Lord will pronounce, how the Lord will throw you in hell if you're not living according to the word of God. They're not preaching against your sin. They're not preaching to make sure that things are done decent and in order in church. They're not conducting things in the right way that God instructed them to conduct. If they're not doing that, don't pay them your tithes, because the only thing you're doing is paying them to go to hell. That's all you're doing. You're paying for a one-way ticket to hell. Go pay somebody that's going to make sure that you at least make it into heaven. That's a sad thing. Trust me, you will be kicking yourself in the behind on top of the burning and suffering that you have to endure in hell. You will be in so much depression and torment down in hell, knowing that you were in church paying all this money only to still wind up in the place you didn't want to go to. Look, this is what I always said. I'm not going to suffer here on earth and then die and suffer in hell. Screw that. If I'm going to suffer, let me suffer once. I'll suffer here on earth if it means that I can make it to heaven. If it means that I gotta, put God first and put my tithes and offering up to put him first, and I gotta try to kind of figure out how to get my own, will this keep me out? The only thing I'm worried about, is this gonna keep me out of hell? Here you go. But that comes when you have, and when you've been taught properly. See, individuals like me, I've been taught properly. Y'all that have not been taught properly, quite naturally, you're not going to want to hear a message where somebody's telling you the right way to go. But see, here's the problem. When you're not being taught the right way to go, then you're not being taught, period. Like I said before, if you're not taught the full, then you're being taught a lie. I can't tell you how to partially get there, because you're still not there.